God's grace and peace be enjoyed by you this beautiful Sunday morning. Amen. After the great event of Easter, it is very appropriate that the mission of God be lifted up for all these Sundays. First, we have, of course, the Great Commission given in Matthew about going to all nations, proclaiming and teaching, and then assuring them that Jesus was with them. Last Sunday, or then we had the mention of Peter going forth and discovering that the mission was to be expanded far beyond the Jewish people. And then we had also now we have the mission of Paul, one of the greatest missionaries that the church has ever seen. I've chosen the title Mission Impossible. Mission Possible. I got caught up in the same thing here. In fact, when I Googled mission, and it came up, first off, it came up with a bar in Minneapolis, the American Mission Breakfast and Bar. Maybe that's where we should go. Maybe that's where we should bring the gospel. And some churches have made an attempt to reach people in various locations. But we find that Paul wouldn't buy that it is impossible, but rather that it is possible. And I'd like to touch on why that is a possible mission that comes before us. Sometimes may feel like a burden, but I believe that God has given us a great mission so that we could have a piece of the action and we could have some of the joy. There's joy not only in being loved, but in loving. There's a joy not only in hearing the gospel, but there is joy in sharing the good news with others. So it's a little bit like the old legend of the birds who were complaining because they had an extra burden on their back of wings, and they saw that a number of the animals didn't have that, so they complained. And then one day they learned to fly and soared over. I think mission is like that. Some people may feel that it's a burden, but it's really a gift of God, so we could have some of the joy and the peace of the action. I'd like to share a number of points that make the mission possible. I remember preaching teacher who said you should tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. So I'll do that. And then we'll get a test tomorrow. They relied on the Holy Spirit, point one. Point two, they listened to God. Point three, they took fellowship seriously, and they went, number four. And then God was central. Number one, they relied on the Holy Spirit. In the text, it shows that they heard the Holy Spirit tell them to set aside Paul and Barnabas. Was that an audible voice? Maybe. Or was it a consensus of the group as they were sensitive to the leading of the Spirit? It doesn't matter. Other places, too, there seems to be an audible voice. However, I get a little leery when I hear people hearing voices. But who knows? God could have chosen that way. But anyway, they listened to relied on the Holy Spirit. And that's true for us, too. There's a great prayer that our morning Bible study on Monday morning, 6:30, pretty early, but it's a great time. About a dozen or more of us gather at Perkins, and you're welcome to join us. But this prayer is given every Sunday, and some of you are familiar with it from other circumstances. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations through Christ our Lord. So the first step in being about the mission is to rely on the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and to work in the lives of others. Amazing, amazing power in the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I think we have backed off from that. Perhaps as Lutherans, we've been a little leery of it because there have been some excesses in the focus on the Holy Spirit. But it is clearly a part of Scripture that the Holy Spirit is active and leading. It is God's presence in our lives. Rely on it. Trust it. It makes life new. Secondly, they listened to God. They heard about God's love and they took it seriously. They let it enter into their lives. They believed that God was loving them in Jesus, that Jesus Christ was loving them personally and caring for each one of them. Listening to how much God loves us. How much we need to hear that. That God loves each one of you deeply. I'm reminded of Keith Miller's comment in one of his books. This was years ago in the Faith at Work movement, had a very significant movement that renewed many parts of the church. In one of his books he told a story of his child awakening him in the middle of the night. She needed to go to the bathroom. So he took her in there. She was just a few years old. Took her in there, and when they went back, she was already asleep when he laid her down on the bed. And the moon was shining in on her. And he looked down, and he just enjoyed her. He just stood there and looked and enjoyed her and loved her. And then it just dawned on him, that's the way God is. God loves me deeply, and I don't even know it. Ponder that. Ponder that God loves you far more than you can imagine. They listened to God's love. A couple days ago, there was a video on Facebook recording people who had had surgery, people who had been deaf all their life, and their first surgery brought so they could hear. They showed about 7-8 of those experiences. A powerful thing. There were mostly adults, but a couple children. Every adult cried, just wept after they could hear. Sometimes it was, I love you. The children, facial expression, amazing. It started out, and all of a sudden, the mouth went open, the eyes got big as they heard. I think that would happen to us if we really heard how deeply God loves us. He showed it on the cross, and he shows it in many ways. The mission is possible when we discover how much God loves us and how much he loves the whole world. And then they took fellowship seriously. It shows in Acts that they gathered in worship and prayer and the laying on of hands. Laying on of hands. That's something we need to ponder. Do we do it very much? Well, I don't know. We do it at special occasions, confirmation perhaps, ordinations, installations. But I've been wondering, are we neglecting something? It is a powerful thing to have somebody lay your hand, not only to express their support, but as a vehicle of God's blessing too. Think about it. Talk to me. Share what you think about that. How could we incorporate that in a more meaningful and usual way, laying on of hands, but other ways of fellowship, gathering, listening, and talking and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Somebody has said you can't be a Christian alone any more than you can be a husband alone or a wife alone. We were meant to be together, to support each other, to love each other. And I'm grateful for your love and your support and your caring for us and for each other. It is good. It's at the heart of the gospel. Then they went. They acted on the call to go, and they shared the gospel, and they showed good, they cared about people. They fed the hungry. They met needs of people. They went, they acted. They did not just sit back and listen. So it is with us. We need to go to share the word. There's a sort of an outline of how we might do this in the word history, or his story. 3 points under that. One is we need to listen to their story. Their story. We listen. I think as human beings, most of us aren't good listeners, including myself. I remember in college we took a number of courses on speaking, and surely in seminary, but we didn't, I don't know if we took a course on listening. Did you? Well, counseling, I think counseling has that focus, of course. But we need to, in fact, I was thinking about that. How about some of us getting together and learning how to listen? There are a lot of things to learn about listening. And we don't do it very well. But there are ways that we can learn to listen. Evangelism has been described as building a bridge to others and letting Jesus walk across. I've used that phrase many times. I heard it first as a teenager at a youth gathering. But I've realized since we got to add something to that. It's not enough to just build the bridge. We got to walk across it with somebody. We got to listen enough so that they're with us. And in listening, become possible to share. But only after we've listened can we tell our story and his story that they receive into their lives. So they went. And lastly, God was the center. Remember the story that Jean read about Paul in Lystra? And after he had healed this person, or God had healed this person, they thought that God had come among them. One was Zeus, and Paul was Hermes. Can you imagine that? And they had sacrifices. And Paul was so upset, he tore his clothes as a demonstration of frustration and a communication to them. No, no, we're just mortals like you. And then he pointed out that God made the whole world. God made all the beauty around us. And we're his servants, not God. Paul did not want to be the center of the picture. And that's a real key to being good evangelists and good servants of the mission. God is what counts. God is the center. We count, yes, but it is God's action that changes lives. No skill, no training can make us change other people's lives the way God can do that. So it's central to our mission that we believe God is at the center, that God is the one to be lifted up, that God is the creator of the world and of spiritual life and salvation. So tell them what you told them. I got to check out and make sure I do. They relied on the Holy Spirit. They listened to God. They took fellowship seriously. They went, they acted, and they made God the very center for life now and forever. May you experience deeply this powerful, wonderful life that God has designed for you. Amen.